Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to be exploring the world of dreams.
Dreams.
Yeah, but not through typical dream interpretation.
Okay.
We're talking about turning your dreams into, get this, a role-playing game.
Interesting.
Sounds kind of wild, right?
It does, yeah. So we're not trying to decode dream symbols.
Nope, no deciphering dream dictionaries or anything like that.
Got it.
This is about taking the raw material of our dreams. You know, like the locations, the activities, the weird encounters, and using them to create something new.
So kind of flipping the script on how we usually think about dreams.
Exactly. And the source material for our deep dive today is this awesome book called Dream Life.
Dream lie.
It's basically a guide to crafting your own custom RPG adventure, all based on, you guessed it, your dreams.
Okay, I'm intrigued. So how does this actually work? How do we turn our dreams into a game?
Well, the book lays out this really cool concept called the three tables.
The three table?
Yeah. Basically, you create three tables, one for dream locations, one for activities you do in those dreams, and one for, the encounters you have.
So I'm guessing these tables are filled with stuff straight from our dreams.
You got it. You literally pull entries from your dream journal. Like, let's say you had a dream where you were flying over a neon city.
Okay.
That goes in the locations table. Or
Yeah.
maybe you dreamt you were waiting for a bus that never came.
Oh, I've definitely had that dream.
Right. It all goes in, no matter how weird or mundane it seems.
So we're taking these seemingly random bits from our dreams and turning them into game components.
Precisely. And the book really emphasizes that these tables are constantly evolving. You know, as you dream, you keep adding more entries.
Making your personal dream life game richer and richer over time.
Exactly. And that's where things get really interesting. To actually play Dream Life, you randomly select one entry from each of your three tables. So you might end up with something like train station from your locations table, running from your activities table, and frustrated desire from your encounters table.
Wow. Just from those three things, I'm already getting a sense of a story starting to form.
Right. And that's just using those random examples. Imagine the possibilities when you're using entries specific to your own dreams.
But the combinations must be endless.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you think we could maybe try creating a set of coordinates together?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, the book provides these generic tables as a kind of starting point.
Perfect. Let's give it a go.
Okay, let me grab the dice here. At first up, location. Let's see.
What'd you get?
Empty mall. Ooh, that's a little spooky.
Empty mall. Interesting. What about the activity?
Another roll. Playing an instrument.
Oh, I'm picturing a lone piano in the middle of this silent mall.
Me too. It's already getting interesting. Okay, last roll. The encounter.
Drum roll, please.
Yeah. All right. It is creature. Wow. So our coordinates are empty mall, playing an instrument, and creature.
I am getting chills. Think about how much richer this will be when we start using our personal dream entries, though.
I know, right? Your own unique experiences really become the fuel for, like, truly personalized narratives.
This is blowing my mind already. So we've got these intriguing coordinates. How do we actually turn them into a story?
Well, Dream Life lays out a pretty clear three-step process for narrative creation. And it all starts with simply declaring your coordinates.
So in our case, we would say something like, the location is empty mall. The activity is playing an instrument, and I'm having an encounter with a creature.
You got it. It's kind of like setting the stage.
Got it. Establishing the foundation for your story. What's the next step?
Next up is setting the scene. So we're going to flesh out those coordinates with sensory details and context, you know, really bring it to life.
Ooh, okay. So for our empty mall scenario, how would we do that?
Let me see. Maybe something like, the air is heavy with the smell of stale popcorn and abandoned perfume counters. Eerie silence hangs in the air, broken only by the faint hum of flickering fluorescent lights. I'm sitting on a dusty piano bench in the middle of the food court, my fingers tracing the keys of a battered upright.
Wow. Okay. I feel like I'm already there. That was amazing. You really brought the location to life.
Thanks. The book actually emphasizes using the first person, present tense, you know, to really make it feel like you're actually in the dream.
I can definitely see how that would make it more immersive. So we've declared the coordinates, set the scene. What's the final step?
Now it's time to tell the story.
Okay. So how do we take all of this and weave it into a narrative?
Well, this is where you really let your creativity soar. Using your chosen activity and encounter, you basically weave a narrative that connects these, you know, seemingly random elements.
So the key is staying true to the coordinates and the scene we've set.
Exactly. Okay, so for our example, I might continue the story by saying, As I play a haunting melody on the old piano, I notice a movement in the shadows at the edge of the food court. A creature, unlike anything I've ever seen, emerges from the darkness, drawn by the sound of my music. Its eyes glow with an unnatural light, and its limbs seem to shift and change with each step it takes towards me.
Whoa, that is awesome. It's amazing how this process, like, pushes you to think beyond just literal interpretations of your dream elements.
I know. It's like you're remixing the building blocks of your subconscious and discovering these hidden connections.
Exactly. Which, you know, can lead to some surprising insights about yourself. Fears, desires, creative potential you didn't even realize you had.
This is so much more than just rolling dice and telling stories. It really feels like a way to explore your inner world.
It does. But before we go any further, I'm curious about the role of chance in all of this. The book talks about RNG, or a random number generator, being a key part of the process. What's that all about?
It's actually a pretty fascinating concept. The book, you know, it argues that RNG isn't just about rolling dice.
Okay.
It's about introducing this element of chance, you know, of unexpected possibilities into our self-exploration.
Oh, I see. So it's like those random dice rolls are kind of shaking things up, pushing us out of our comfort zones and helping us to see things from a new perspective.
Exactly. And what's really interesting is that the book actually suggests using physical dice.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It says physical dice over digital RNG. It argues that that physical act of rolling, mm-hmm. you know, the tactile sensation, it creates a deeper, more embodied experience.
I can see that. Like, it's almost like the difference between reading a recipe and actually, like, getting your hands dirty in the kitchen, right?
That's a great way to put it, yeah.
You're more present, more engaged with the process. And that mindfulness, that deeper engagement, I think, can lead to more meaningful self-discovery. Like, you're opening yourself up to the unexpected, to mm-hmm. those whispers of your subconscious that might be trying to break through.
This is so cool. I'm already thinking about all the, you know, weird and wonderful dream locations and activities and encounters I could add to my own tables.
Right.
But I have to admit, sometimes the hardest part is actually coming up with the story itself.
Yeah.
You know, like, it can feel a bit intimidating, like staring at a blank page.
Yeah.
Does Dream Life offer any advice for, you know, overcoming that creative block?
It does. And it really emphasizes that there's no right or wrong way to tell your story.
Okay.
You know, the goal isn't to, like, cracked this perfect narrative. Mm-hmm. It's more about just exploring and expressing the unique world of your dreams.
So it's more about the journey of discovery than reaching a specific destination.
Exactly. And remember, you're drawing from, like, this rich tapestry of your own dream experiences, right? Let the strangeness, the absurdity, the unexpected twists and turns of your dream world inform your storytelling.
That's actually quite liberating.
Right.
It takes the pressure off trying to make everything make sense in, you know, a conventional way.
Yeah.
It's like giving myself permission to play, to experiment, to let my imagination run wild.
Precisely. And often I think it's in those moments of playful exploration that that the most profound insights emerge.
Okay.
You know, when we step outside the confines of our logical minds, mm-hmm. we open ourselves up to new perspectives, mm-hmm. to hidden connections that we might otherwise miss.
So in a way, playing Dream Life is almost like giving a voice to our subconscious,
yeah.
allowing it to kind of speak through the medium of storytelling.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And who knows what wisdom, what creative sparks, what unexpected self-discoveries might arise from that conversation.
This is so much more than just a fun game. It feels like a real pathway to self-discovery.
Yeah.
I'm curious, though. The book seems to imply that playing Dream Life can actually be a tool for personal growth. And even, like, spiritual development, is that something it touches on?
Yeah, you've hit on, I think, a really key point. By engaging with our dreams in this way, mm-hmm. by weaving them into narratives, we're not simply rehashing old experiences.
Okay.
We're actively creating something new, something that reflects our inner world.
So it's not just about passively remembering dreams. It's about actively shaping them into something meaningful.
Exactly. And through that process of creation, we can gain, I think, a much deeper understanding of ourselves, our fears, our desires, our hidden potential. You know, it's almost like using the raw material of our dreams to, like, sculpt a more conscious, more authentic version of ourselves.
That's powerful. It really elevates Dream Life from a, you know, a simple game to something with, like, much deeper implications.
And it's important to note that the book doesn't prescribe any specific interpretations or meanings to, you know, the dream elements.
Okay.
It encourages each player to find their own personal resonance within the narratives they create.
It's like it's saying, here are the tools, now go explore your own inner landscape and see what treasures you might find.
Precisely. And in a world that's so full of, you know, external noise and distractions, that invitation to turn inward and listen to the whispers of our own subconscious, I mean, that's incredibly valuable.
It really does feel like dream life offers a path to becoming more mindful and self-aware.
And a path that's rooted in the wisdom and creativity, you know, we all have within us.
This deep dive has been a real eye-opener. I'm itching to start building my own dream life tables.
Yeah.
And just see what stories emerge. But before we wrap up, any final words of wisdom for our listeners who are ready to embark on their own dream-inspired adventures?
Remember to approach this with a sense of curiosity, playfulness, and an openness to the unexpected.
Yeah.
Don't get bogged down trying to, like, analyze or interpret your dreams, right?
Okay.
Instead, just focus on the experience of weaving them into narratives, giving them a voice through your own creativity.
It's like the book is saying, trust the process, trust your intuition, and enjoy the ride.
Exactly. And you might just surprise yourself with the insights, the creative breakthroughs, and the deeper self-understanding that comes along the way.
So to all our listeners out there, think of those generic table examples as a starting point. What unexpected narratives could you create from your unique dream experiences?
Happy dreaming.
And happy gaming.